The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, Nigeria's Election Commission to announce winner of presidential election today. Ghana opens defense against Cote d'Ivoire in oil exploration dispute. 2015 WASI begins today. Renewed calls for passage of Right to Information Bill into law to ensure transparency. And ministers of six developed countries to deliberate over Iran's nuclear program today. The news in detail. Counting is underway in Nigeria's presidential election with the incumbent Goodluck Jonathan facing a strong challenge from former military ruler Muhammadu Buhari. The Independent Election Commission, INEC, says it hopes to announce the winner today. The UN has praised the poll despite technical hitches, protests and violence linked to Boko Haram. Voting spilled into a second day in some parts of Nigeria after problems with the new electronic card readers. President Jonathan was among those unable to cast his vote using the technology which was introduced to prevent fraud. The INEC chairman, Atahiru Jega, stressed that only a fraction of the 150,000 card readers being used nationwide failed. The vote had been delayed by 6 weeks because of the insurgency by Boko Haram militants.
Meanwhile, three areas in northeastern Nigeria have been placed under curfew after the military battled scores of Boko Haram fighters outside the Bauchi state capital. Soldiers supported by two fighter jets intercepted the militants who were in 20 pickups at Dongube village and engaged them in fierce fighting. Spokesperson for the Bauchi state governor said the curfew is to enable the security agencies to restore normalcy in the affected areas.
Christians in Nigeria say they are not afraid of the frequent Boko Haram attacks on the church. This is because the church will overcome the attacks by the militants with prayer and steadfast faith in God. Speaking at the 40th anniversary in ministry of the former district pastor of the Tema Central Assemblies of God Church, Reverend David Negbamado, the district superintendent of the Assemblies of God Church Echo in Nigeria, Reverend Sunday Broderick, said Nigeria will emerge stronger and united after the elections. Reverend Broderick led the congregation to pray for the peace and safety of Christians in Nigeria. Gloria Anderson has the details.
Churches and Christians in Nigeria have come under frequent attacks from Boko Haram. The militants have burned down many churches, resulting in the loss of lives. But the district superintendent of the Assemblies of God Church Eko State in Nigeria, Reverend Sunday Broderick, said the church will stand united against these attacks from Boko Haram, saying, "The churches in Nigeria are not afraid of the attacks.
We are believing God that after the election, we expect peace to reign in the nation. We expect anyone who wins to be congratulated. And whosoever leaves, there shouldn't be any riot. We don't really expect any riot. We want the position to accept defeat if they are defeated. That's all
we're saying. Is the church panicking over Boko Haram frequent
attacks? Oh, no, we are not panicking. The church is not panicking. The church is on top of the Boko Haram attack. As a matter of fact, the church, God has taken control of the Boko Haram attack.
Reverend Sunday Broderick, who preached the sermon, said God is still a God of possibilities, adding that what is needed is faith to move the hand of God to work in the lives of Christians.
God has the ability to make any of us what He wants us to. No matter where you are today, God has the grace, God has the power to make you what He wants you to. If He has made God's servants, He can make any of us.
The former district pastor of the Tema Assemblies of God Church, Reverend David Mankrom Nabemado, who has been in ministry for 40 years, advised young ministers to learn to serve under senior ministers and learn from their experiences and challenges.
So our young men who want everything to just blossom immediately, you will not get that experience if you don't work under an elderly man who have been there to impact into your life. And you say, yes, I have a call, I have the giftings, I am this, I am that. You still need somebody in your life, like Paul was to Timothy, like Barnabas was to Paul. We need somebody. So young ministers, I'm advising you, the road is in front of you, but You need to be careful by studying those who are born on that road, looking at them, studying them, working with them. It will make you a better minister. Learn very well and don't kill that vision and don't destroy people's lives because you are saying, I have a vision.
Reverend Mankom Nagbemado, whose 40 years in ministry coincided with his 60th birthday, said 40 years in ministry has not been easy, but has drawn him closer to God.
I pray and I ask God for long life and good health, that I will continue to just be the same man after God's heart, teaching and preaching the truth, nothing but the truth. And I will continue to go into missions. I have that passion for souls and people living in poverty, how we can help to eradicate and bless them.
Former district pastor of the Tema Assemblies of God Church, Reverend David Nagbemado, ending that report by Gloria Anderson.
The Ghana National Gas Company is to begin another compensation payment today in the Western Region. This forms part of the early phase gas infrastructure project along the Siama Pishtia lateral line. About 7.8 million Ghana cedis will be paid as compensation package to more than 800 farmers in 23 communities affected by the project. This was contained in a statement signed by the corporate communications manager of the company, Alfred Ugwami. He later spoke to Yaya Kwama.
So far, we've seen over 8 million Ghana cedis of crop compensation, and we are continuing that crop compensation process beginning Monday, 30th of March, for a number of days, along the Isiama Pristia line. Yes.
So, talking of crop compensation, what actually do you mean by that?
It means that on that very line from Isiama to Pristia, we have a 30 meter across board length pathway from Isiama to Pristia. And along that pathway, there we may have gone through some people's farms. The state may have acquired some people's farms as part of the project. And those whose farms were affected had their crops counted and enumerated by the Land Valuation Board. Land Valuation Board. And what we are doing is that we are now paying them the value of those crops that were destroyed as part of the process.
So how many crop farms are affected?
About 800 crop farmers.
Okay, but are you able to tell us the quantum of the money involved?
800 crop farmers from about 23 communities. And in terms of the money involved, we're looking at 7.8 million Ghana cedis.
When are you expected to end with the payment of this compensation to these people?
Actually, we've planned a 3-day period, but we could, depending on what happens and whether we are able to get the numbers, it could go through the week.
But after this payment, this will have other compensations that you need to settle the people along
with. We have land compensation as well. And we've actually also had people whose lands, buildings or structures were affected as part of the project to make claims, as part of the legal process, to make claims now that the expiration of the government compulsory acquisition process has come into fruition. In that, government announced the compulsory acquisition in August and actually published that in the hearing. And 6 months after that, landowners are supposed to make claims and they are supposed to make their claim to the Lands Commission.
He had corporate communications manager of the Ghana Gas Company, Alfred Ugwami, talking to Yaya Kwama.
Meanwhile, Mr. Ugwami says, barring any hitches, the company will start commercial production on the 1st of next month.
Let me state that we've been given more than 50 megawatts of power. Indeed, we don't generate power. We give an alternative fuel source that is cheaper, effective, and consistent, which is the lane gas, the Abuaji thermal plant, largely operated by the PRA. And for a period of time now, we'll be giving them an average of 74 million staff, which translates an average of 75 million staff, which translates 300 megawatts minimum generation at the end of the VRA. What the chief executive and the director of operations said in parliament was that barring the inability of the off-takers, downstream off-takers, that is a boiling plant, to off-take the full volume, we expect that we'll begin commercial operation in April 1st beginning.
Alfred Ugwami is the corporate communications manager of Ghana Gas Company.
The 2015 West African Senior Secondary Certificate Examination begins across the country today. 268,771 candidates from 868 public and private senior high schools will participate in the examination at 866 centers. The figures represent an increase of 20,603 candidates over the 2014 figure of 248,168 candidates. The Ashanti region has the highest number of candidates of 62,472, followed by the Eastern region with 39,821 candidates. The Upper West region has the least number of candidates with 7,060. The WASI is being conducted in 5 West African countries. The examination begins with integrated science. Meanwhile, the Minister of Education, Professor Nana Jinupuku Adjuman, has congratulated the candidates for successfully going through their programs and wished them success in the examination. Speaking to the media after touring some examination centers, she urged the candidates to observe all examination rules and regulations. Professor Opoku Adjuman asked the candidates to understand questions before answering them.
Despite the much-touted progress being made in the Accra metropolis in the educational sector, a number of children are still roaming the streets without education. Private individuals have therefore taken it upon themselves to organize informal schools for these children without charging any fees. Schools like the Street Academy and Noya Academy have mushroomed in the city to assist the vulnerable children. Radio Ghana visited children of Noya Academy, which is located at the Jamestown Beach.
Children at the Noya Academy are aged between 14 and 18. The school is accommodated in a dilapidated structure at the Jamestown Beach. The children pay no fees and the teachers live on the support of benevolent individuals. Rahul Anand, a director of the school, narrates the plight of the children.
This school came into being 2 years ago. We have 4 classrooms. We have about 40 and the guys 20. And most of them are the kids who are in the KG classroom. We don't charge fees. The only thing we do is for them to pay 1 Ghana Cedi for feeding. And even that is a problem. They don't buy books. They don't buy anything. Everything that is done at Noya is being funded by the school authorities without any help coming from the government whatsoever. So the plan is for us to get a proper schoolhouse so that these kids will have a proper future. A future that I hope will be brighter than what has been known to the people in this community.
She explains that despite the progress made, the school's attempts to get government to support has proved futile.
Some started school around the ages of 14, 15, and they couldn't even read. Today, some can read. They can even say things about themselves, even though we've not really gotten there yet. Hopefully, we'll get there. When we wanted documentation for the schoolhouse to be built, we copied letter to the Ministry of Fisheries. We wrote one to AMA. We wrote one to its office as well.
Madam Rahul Anand makes a passionate appeal to government to give children in Noya Academy a better future.
My appeal goes to the authorities. It's no fault of these kids to be born in this community. They found themselves here. It's so appalling that one of the kids got pregnant because there's no basic care like food, water. And what I want to note is that if this kid are coming to school, they have to go and pay at a public bus, you know, they have it down there before even coming to school. So my appeal is for the government to come in. Where the school is situated is under Neil Ante Van Der Poel. We've not seen him here before. And if he's not aware, we are just appealing to him that he should come to our aid. Come and help. So at least these kids will not be dropouts. Because if these kids are left to be roaming about, come 20, 15 years, they'll become liabilities on the society.
Ni Okai Okaishi is the chief fisherman of Jamestown and one of the landlords of the school.
We gave them the land, and if some people come, if they don't like this site and they will choose another place, we are ready to give them the land so that this time it will not be built like this, it will be built in a proper way.
Anytime we make a forum, we do advise them, especially the women who come here, and they can leave them here after working, come and pick them and take them home.
That was a report on the plight of the schools and children in Jamestown. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Nigeria's Election Commission to announce winner of presidential election today. Ghana opens defense against Cote d'Ivoire in oil exploration dispute. 2015 WASI begins today. Renewed calls for passage of right to information bill into law to ensure transparency. and ministers of six developed countries to deliberate over Iran's nuclear program today. Do stay tuned. Ghana has opened her defense against Cote d'Ivoire at the International Tribunal of the Law of the Sea on her maritime boundary dispute with Cote d'Ivoire on the ownership of portions of the country's second biggest oil field, Trinoboa Enriya Ntomi, popularly known as TEN. Ghana's legal team, led by Attorney General and Minister of Justice Marietta Brewer-Pierrepont, argued that if the court upholds Cote d'Ivoire's claim, it would cause incalculable and irreparable damage to Ghana. In her argument, the Attorney General disagreed with the new formula used by Cote d'Ivoire to delimit the maritime boundary. She argued that the newly claimed maritime used by Cote d'Ivoire was based on a bisector approach and was a clear abandonment of a long agreed boundary line that was based on equidistance. She also accused Cote d'Ivoire of making unfounded allegations against Ghana and Talo Oil Company. Ghana initiated arbitration under Annex 8 of the UN clause in September last year, seeking an affirmation of its rights in the disputed maritime boundary. The tribunal has granted requests for provisional measures in cases where it is satisfied that it would have prima facie jurisdiction over the disputes, and when it believes that granting such requests is urgently needed to preserve the rights of the parties or protect the marine environment. The most challenging question for the tribunal, however, is to resolve whether denying Cote d'Ivoire's request for granting it will preserve the rights of both parties. Panelists on GBC's current affairs program Talking Points have suggested the immediate passage of the Right to Information Bill into law and initiate anti-corruption activities to help promote development. They maintain that for any country to develop, there must be transparency and accountability on the part of policymakers. The program, under the auspices of STAR Ghana, focused on accountability and responsiveness in Ghana, the role of STAR Ghana. Ibrahim Tanku is the program manager of STAR Ghana.
We have looked at a number of broad areas. One is this whole area of citizens' access to information. You cannot expect citizens to act. You cannot expect the institutions, you know, charged with the responsibility to address this.
To bring to mind the right information.
Yes. Exactly. So we've devoted a lot of effort and resources to supporting parliament and civil society organizations to advocate for the passage of the Right to Information and also the broadcast bill. So these are two key pieces of legislation that we think would provide a good foundation, a basis for citizens to act. I think the second area is the whole thing about engaged citizens. How do we enable ordinary citizens at every level of government to be engaged in the fight against corruption? So it's not like, oh, when you hear about corruption, go and report to the Ghana Integrity Initiative or Ghana Anti-Corruption
Coalition.
But that everybody sees it as their responsibility as citizens to take action. But there is that whole thing about, okay, at a personal level, you know, I want to do something, but where are the spaces where I can engage? And so the third pillar is helping to create or strengthen the spaces for citizen engagement, either with SRAJ, with the judiciary, with parliament, you know, to address these issues of corruption. And then the fourth pillar for us is the media, the role of the media, that beyond the 24-hour news cycle, beyond the partisan, you know, issues that we address, that it should be possible for the media.
Ibrahim Tanko is the program's manager of STAR Ghana. A social policy analyst, Dr. William Ahadi, believes empowering the media is one of the surest ways of stemming the canker of corruption.
The ability of some civil society groups to engage and to sustain the engagement to fight corruption is a very critical issue, because it's not an easy fight. You can start it and you get discouraged by the fact that you probably are not achieving results within a short period of time. You can also, the effort to be held down by threats from those who are really knee-deep or neck-deep in corrupt activities. They can take your life sometimes, you know, and therefore somebody has to support you to sustain your interest, particularly if you don't have resources. And their support can come in different forms, as has been said. Mm. The support can come in creating the environment for you to be able to operate. The laws must be made. The Right Information Bill must be passed so that at least when you're going for the information, there's a law backing you.
social policy analyst Dr. William Ahaji, the vice chairman of the Star Ghana Steering Committee, Adelaide Adofin, commended the improvement in media discussions on corruption and accountability issues. She said some electronic media houses are analyzing the issues in a non-partisan manner. She, however, called for more concerted efforts from all stakeholders in tackling issues of corruption.
I have to say, increasingly, there is discourse that is not just about partisan positions. You can now actually, you know, tune into certain media houses and get a proper analytic conversation going on about some of these issues. But we need more of that to be happening and to stay with the issues. You know, so even if it's something that is the right information bill in Parliament, stay with it, you know, stay with it until it happens. Because I think it has to be that sort of coalition of civil society, of media, with Parliament, with, you know, government institutions to try and move this forward. So,
Vice Chairman of Star Ghana Steering Committee, Adelaide Adofin.
NPP's National Executive Committee, NEC, and National Council will be meeting today to review the party's affirmative action policy that has sparked internal outrage. The meeting was scheduled to take place on Friday but was rescheduled today. A member of the NEC, Dr. Kwame Amwakutuvo, told Radio Ghana that the party's flag bearer, Nana Akufo-Addo, has already met NEC on the issue. He is hopeful that the committee will consider the voices of the masses before taking a final decision.
The reason for that is that when NEC meets and takes a decision, it's binding under the conditions there is no problem, no crisis, and then it goes. As it is, the people have reacted. There have been lots of voices coming through from the general public, and they are demanding a change from NEC's position. In that case, the problem has to be moved upstairs to National Council, because there have been lots of problems, you know, that have erupted. National Council is the topmost decision-making body. Now, if there is an objection to a decision by one of the decision-making bodies like NEC, then you have to refer to a higher body. And I believe that is what is going on, that they are trying to make a decision as to when they can meet and resolve the problem. We cannot pretend there is no problem.
We are not privy to the date for the meeting of a higher body.
It would definitely have to come before registration of people for the primaries of the parliamentary election, which is by Monday, I think. The suggestion wasn't a bad suggestion because we believe in the empowerment of women. We believe in supporting women to grow in our society. This is one of the reasons why we wanted to promote leadership in the women in parliament. So it was a suggestion. Supposing we allow these women to come back to parliament, it will help the women cause. Nanado has been a chief proponent of women cause in this country. So that suggestion is a very important suggestion, except that if the people, the masses, our support base, does not approve of it, then we sit on it again. That's the beauty of our democracy. We sit on it, deliberate on it, and say maybe the timing is wrong.
There was a member of NEC NPP, Dr. Kwame Amwakutuvo.
The Ghana Medical Association has given government up to May to resolve the conversion difference and reduced pension contribution due doctors, which has been outstanding since November 2011. It said if this is not done by the deadline, the association will kickstart series of steps that will definitely disturb the industrial harmony in healthcare delivery. The ultimatum was given at a news conference at the end of the association's second National Executive Council meeting for this year at Ejusu in the Ashanti region. Correspondent John Yeboa has filed this report.
The news conference was held after the National Executive Council had met and deliberated on issues including the conversion difference and reduced pensions, Tier 2 pension, Health Bill 2015, management of house officers and conditions of service of doctors in the public health sector. The president of the Ghana Medical Association, Dr. Kwamla Opoku-Edusei, emphasized that doctors in the public sector continue to suffer from reduced pensions due to the unwillingness of government to pay the convention difference due them. Hence, the May 31, 2015 deadline to government to resolve the matter. He emphasized that the association will not be cowed into submission by any attempt by government to use court processes as a refuge to avoid its obligations towards doctors in the public sector, as done in the past, and will fiercely resist this, adding that members of the Ghana Medical Association will not be gagged by such tactics. On the Tier 2 pension, Dr. Opoku Edisei said the issue remains unresolved 6 months after government dragged the labor unions to court. Meanwhile, the ordinary worker continues to suffer losses on investment returns for their future pensions benefits.
John Niebua reporting.
In foreign news, ministers from 6 world powers are expected to hold their first full discussion with Iran's foreign minister over its nuclear program today, ahead of tomorrow's deadline for reaching an agreement. The essence of an emerging deal is to keep Iran at least 1 year away from producing enough nuclear fuel for a single weapon. Representatives of the US, Germany, France, the UK, China and Russia are at the talks in Lucerne, Switzerland. Now to end the news, the main points again. Nigeria's Election Commission will today announce the winner of Saturday's presidential election. Counting is currently ongoing, with incumbent Goodluck Jonathan facing a strong challenge from former military ruler Muhammadu Buhari. Ghana has opened her defense against Cote d'Ivoire at the International Tribunal of the Law of the Sea on the ownership of portions of the country's second biggest oil field, popularly known as TEN. Attorney General and Minister of Justice Marietta Buapiopong argued that if the court upholds Cote d'Ivoire's claim, it would cause incalculable and irreparable damage to Ghana. And more than 268,000 candidates will take part in the 2015 West African Senior Secondary Certificate Examination, which begins across the country today. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.